What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fantasy in Frames draft show, our inaugural episode this off season. Guys, I'm your host, Stacey Perez, and I am joined here tonight with the lovely and talented Keith Fleming and Rich Sickles are going to be coming in, hanging out with us. We are going to be drafting an underdog big board draft pre-NFL draft tonight. We're sneaking in right there in the last seconds because it is almost full. So guys, buckle up. If you're ready to draft with us, get ready to go. Let's do it. Do you guys dance along with the music, like, as it's going?
Every time.
Absolutely.
Every single time. You got a banger, too. I'm a little jealous. Like, I like our song from the Daily Fix, but that's really good.
That's a good one.
Well-deserved. That's right. I'll be humming that tomorrow on my way to work.
Oh, yeah. It's got a good little drum beat in there, too. You can, like, do a little, you know, drum solo, too.
It kind of gives me reminiscence of like the Surge commercials. You remember the Surge commercials with the cans going across it? Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah.
Anytime there's woos in a song, I'm all for it. So,
like the Blur song, like song two, that's right. The best.
And it all dates back to the Nature Boy Ric Flair. You know.
Oh yeah. Adam.
That was my initial Twitter account. Was just like. Some trivia for you. My initial Twitter account was a Ric Flair spoof.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes. My God, man. Limousine riding.
At the Lightning games that I go to, there's a section that like leads all the chants, and they do one. It's they give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Yes,
and
sir.
Clap five. Woo! Like you can hear it. It's one of my favorite ones. What's up, Rachel? We see you in the chat. Guys, everybody else, if you are watching, jump on into the chat. We want to chat with you tonight. You can talk to us about how the draft is going, and hopefully you're going to be able to draft with us. So this is the draft show. It is a little bit different kind of a show. We're not just doing one sort of draft. We're not just stuck with best ball or, you know, redraft, anything like that. This is for every sort of format out there. So we're going to be doing best balls. We're going to be doing redraft. We're going to try to get some dynasty in there, some rookie drafts. We're also going to be doing some Scott Fishbowl expert mocks that are going to be dropping as soon as we get those rules out. So when those drop, you guys are going to know the dates for those. We're going to have a lot of fun guests on throughout the summer. So be on the lookout for that. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. That way you know when we're drafting. And that way you can draft with us if you want to. Our vision here for the show is to just really kind of expose everybody to all the different formats and platforms that are available during the offseason. So we're going to be bringing you all kinds of different things, different platforms. If there's something that you really want to see us draft on, let us know. My DMs are open. I don't know about you guys, but...
Oh, be careful there, yeah. Stacey. Be careful.
Good point. Open for fantasy football content. Let's put it that way. Yes. All right. We're gonna roll that back just a smidge.
That got me.
But that's anyway, guys. Okay, I gotta watch my words here. It is 9:15 on a Thursday night, Friday Eve. Buckle up. We are gonna be doing a draft tonight. Like I said, we are doing that big board on underdog. So if you want to draft a big board with us, get in there right now. I am about to hit enter. I'm going to hit enter right now. So, well, maybe I got to hit it twice. Hang on.
That's what she said.
That is what she said. Listen, Keith, you have no idea how much I love a good that's what she said joke. So please bring it on.
My wife literally wanted to murder me about, I think, a year into dating because it's like, all I ever say, it's anytime there's that softball, I can't help but take it. And what's so funny is now, 8 years of being married, she's the one that normally says it. And I'm both proud of her and disappointed in myself that I've allowed that to happen. So
yes, no, you should be very proud. She's, you know, that's what they say. Like once you're in a relationship with somebody, you start taking on like their quirks and their words and, you know, their phrases and everything. I did it. That's what she said at a, like a business networking meeting on Tuesday. And it was just, I couldn't help myself. It was just such a softball, like right there. And like the three guys next to me were like,
they kept it, or was it more like legit? Like...
Oh no, it was definitely, I definitely got some giggles.
Love it.
Oh my goodness. Okay, guys, we are waiting for five more people before this draft can start. So if you are within the sound of my voice and you want to draft with us, jump on in to Underdog on the big board. There's still some big board drafts left to go. It caps out at like 223,000, and I think it's at like 97% full right now. So if you want to get in there and draft, please do that. I would love to see people drafting with us that are listening. I want to see you in the comments as well. Chatting us up, but there we go. So we see, you know, we got Rachel and Angie and Jason. Jason's in there. Jason, what is your Underdog handle so we know exactly who you are? We're drafting under Fantasy and Frames. That's how you're gonna see us drafting tonight. So put that on in the chat. How many drafts have you guys been doing so far? Are you guys degenerates yet? You got a lot under your belt so far?
Yeah, I've got about probably 5 best balls, and I'm actually in the middle of a dynasty startup right now.
There you go. Yes, yeah. Keith.
I've done a startup dynasty draft. I've done one best ball draft. Remember, I do golf content, so that's a lot of work. So I'm sort of breaking my way back into it. And I've always said that's why I love DFS, and that's why it's kind of my baby in football. Is it's one week at a time. You guys are insane. Like they do the dynasty and stuff year round. Like it's crazy. Respect the game though, 110%. But I am very excited to do some of these drafts with you. I had an absolute blast doing the ladies draft earlier this year. Kudos to you for putting that together. Just a really fun event all the way around. And I can't wait to just sit, kind of see the results and stuff from the teams. But the best part is, nobody's wrong at this point, right? So we can say whatever we want. We can say somebody made a horrible pick or a great pick. We don't know. That's kind of my sweet spot for opinions, right?
That's why I love doing them this early. Like, who knows? Who knows what, you know, who's the next Puka Nacua? Nobody knows. No one knows for sure.
And no one's going to remember, right? Like, so if, you know, if you have a bad draft, you probably will forget about it 3-4 weeks into the year once you realize you're like near the bottom of the DraftKings best ball standings, which I was there way too many times last year.
Well, see, that's the beauty about doing stuff like this, like a $10, you know, underdog, like throw that in. That's, you know, that's a Starbucks, right? Just like go in, have a good time, do some instant gratification. If you got the itch to draft. We need one more. Oh, filled. Here we go.
Yeah,
here we go.
Board up and ready so that everybody can see it.
Jason, by the way, is the, and I kind of want to know how he's pronouncing this. The River Rat, I know, because I'm a big poker player. But Huron? Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out.
I'm guessing like Lake Huron River Rat.
Oh, we got another one in. Is it the same username?
It might
Durant 5656.
Yeah, you were Durante was in one of the drafts earlier. Let's take a look and see. Yes,
love
it looks
the
like
participation.
9.
Awesome.
Durante.
And for some, because I was new to this site. Do you want to? Oh, you're doing it through Underdog. What did we do the draft the other night from? Because I had never seen that site.
Yeah, so that was FFPC. So we did the Ladies Best Ball Challenge was on FFPC. So that was a format there. We're going to be doing a lot more drafts with them too this off season. But yeah, so this is Underdog. Guys, you know, it's got a 30-second clock on here. Old Man Game is up with the first pick. We're at the fourth pick here with Fantasy.
What do you think Old Man Game in football or fantasy football means? Like I know on the basketball court and the golf course, it kind of means, you know, you don't have quite the athletic skills anymore, but you just know how to score and fundamentals. What do you think that means for something like this?
Maybe they like to draft like the boomers. Maybe they're going to take like, you start
He started with McCaffrey, so he's off to a good start, right? Like
exactly. He's gonna go straight like running back. That's
running
that's-
back, running right. I'm thinking he's playing hero ball. I'm hoping he's playing hero ball.
By the way, I do we think that CMC is still the number one guy here? Because I last year was kind of pushing people away from it after being all in on him the year before, and now I'm kind of back in where as long as he's in the Niners offense, it's pretty safe. He's changed his body, right? Like he seems like he's gotten a little bigger and more physical to where he can kind of hopefully not get as nicked up and stuff. And just what a great spot to be in a Shanahan offense and have the skill set of, you know, CMC.
Oh my
absolutely.
God.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. Like that's as soon as he went to the 49ers, he became my 101 in redraft and best ball and whatnot. And last year he was my 101 in dynasty too. I was so excited about him being there and everything. As long as he stays healthy and where you know you don't draft to play safe, you draft to win the game. So I love the Amon-Ra pick. I love it.
Thank you.
Sun God. We're very pro Sun God, right,
Stacey? We are. This is absolutely a pro Sun God podcast, 100%. We will take no Sun God slander whatsoever. So we are Amon-Ra St. Brown all the way. I'm just happy that I was early enough in the draft order this week to get him because this is where I see him going, like between this like 4 to 6 range is where I see him happening. I know everyone's like, oh, you took him before Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson. I don't care. That's fine with me. I want Sun God. Want the Sun God.
It seems, Stacy, to be continuing, though, and this was something we talked about, you know, last time we got together, was Justin Jefferson consistently going as, like, wide receiver 5-6 is, it's crazy to me. When we saw what he did with Mullins last year, there's potential that they end up with McCarthy or, you know, one of these QBs, or, I mean, even if he's just stuck with Darnold, I know I'm saying that as I remember the few games that DJ Moore played with him, but I just, man, like, Jefferson is that guy. It's just hard for me to see him, like, for my brain to process that this keeps happening. You warned me about it for the last show. It happened, and it's happened again here.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely falling. He's not going to go out of the first round, but, I mean, I don't have any issue taking – is he still Justin Jefferson? I mean, he's still Justin Jefferson, guys. Everybody simmer down a little bit. But I don't blame anybody if you'd rather take like a Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, you know, Ja'Marr Chase before him, though. So
right. Yeah, no, that's as the Vikings fan here, I've definitely knocked him down a couple of pegs, and it hurt me to do so. But like he showed last year that even without Cousins, he's still going to get his. He's still going to be able to produce, and so I'm really excited about. As a Vikings fan, I'm really excited about what's going to happen this year. I'm really excited for the draft and everything. Just throwing that out there, but
quarterback? Do you are you okay riding with Sam Darnold, or who would you want them to see draft?
I'm happy that they got Sam Darnold just in case. I don't think that he will be the guy. I'm really hoping that they get Drake May. I want them to trade up and get their guy. I don't know who it is that KOC wants. I'm not sure who it is that they're gunning for, but man, I just hope that they actually take that, pull the trigger and actually move up to get one of their guys, because it's never happened in my lifetime that I can remember anyways.
And you do not want to be the team trying to talk yourself into your quarterback, having done that the last 2 years with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. It's an awful time. Like, invest and have something to truly root for, because otherwise you just feel dumb. Like, you know how it is as a fan. You're going to talk it up. You're like, I'm going to talk myself into this one way or the other.
Right.
And then you're just disappointed. So absolutely agree. Right, exactly.
This could work. This could, you know, Marcus Mariota, he could happen.
Yeah, that was awful.
Oh, man. Can I just say, Duarte, what's up, bro? Like, taking Sam LaPorta for me so I can't have my Lions stack? Like, what the heck, man?
I meant to ask you, what's the scoring system here, Stacey?
Oh, so this is a half-point PPR. We've got, half-point PPR, 3 wide receiver set, and everything else is pretty much the same. 20-man roster, You are looking at, you know, everything else. You know, you've got your one QB and two running backs, tight end, flex spot, and then your bench. So that is kind of what that is looking like. Oh, nope, he took Devontae Adams. So not quite old man game, but
I really like his first three picks. Like, I know that, again, the first and third ones are older guys, but man, like the potential for Devontae to have 4 billion right. targets and receptions next year, I think is pretty high.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your thoughts on between Aiden and Minshew? Like, who are you hoping gets the spot?
Well, if I have, you know, Adams, I definitely hope Minshew. We kind of saw with him and Pittman last year, he is not afraid to zone in on one guy and just pepper him with targets. And I like Pittman a lot, but he is not Devontae Adams, who I think is kind of at this point sort of underrated as a wide receiver in the NFL. Cause I mean, he's been so good for so long now. And he's one of those guys, just a great route runner. He's big, he's physical. And I love it when teams suck, right? Because it just means that they're going to throw it even more. And I don't think anybody's expecting the Raiders to be great this year.
Garbage points. Did you guys see that that T-shirt that Gardner Minshew showed up in at when he got to Vegas? The shirt that says "Little Ass Boy" on it, because that's what
Max Crosby
was calling him every time they would play him. And Max Crosby's like coming at him. There's a clip on it running around on the internet that was showing that, and it's Gardner's getting just destroyed by Max Crosby, and he gets to the bench and he's like, God, Max Crosby's so angry. He keeps calling me a little ass boy every time I'm out there.
He goes, I love that he owns it. I love that he owns it.
Yeah, he goes, maybe out there I'm little.
Yeah.
Oh man, what do you guys think about Marvin Harrison Jr. taking these kind of rookie receivers, him and Malik Nabers going in the second round here? Especially, you know, like if we're looking at Harrison, like what is he? He was the 9th receiver off the board. Do you think that's a little too early right now?
I hate not knowing where players are going. Like I understand. You know, if you really believe in somebody, take them. But for me personally, and I do not consider myself a best ball expert by any means, but I would rather take my shots on rookies late, not knowing their landing spot, because you're looking for upside. And I would much rather have somebody that I kind of know. Like Harrison's probably the one that I think it's fairly safe. We kind of know he's going to the Cardinals. I don't know if he'd get past the Chargers if he didn't. Either of those landing spots, good QB. But just in general, it does scare me taking a rookie having no idea what situation they're going to. Like, I think the three exceptions this year are Caleb Williams, obviously a QB. We know where he's going. I think Harrison, you know, just from everything you read, say what he did in college is as safe as it gets. And then I'm a Bowers truther, and I think it doesn't really matter who his QB is. He's going to be unbelievable at the next level. Those are the only three guys that I really want to spend huge capital on this early.
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing too, though, with Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers going this early, this is the most expensive they're ever going to be, right? Because in a week, we're going to know where they've landed. You know, where are they at? What team are they going to be on? You know, and if they land somewhere not so great, you know, they might drop around. They might drop a couple spots. Who knows? But that is my only issue. Not that I have any, like, you're not going to regret taking Harrison or Malik Nabers, but you're just gonna have to spend a lot on them if you want them, you know, right now, I think. And gosh, you know, there go all my receivers. This draft, man, these guys are sharks in here. Holy cow. I had Rasheed Rice in my queue, and it is going quick.
So can you talk to me kind of that thought process of going, you would have gone, I guess, definitely 4 straight receivers if Rice was there. Is it just because it's that half point PPR, you're loading up on that position and then hoping to hit at like QB, tight end, et cetera?
Exactly. So if you take a look at the draft board here, the guys that are drafting, I'm going to make my pick first before I don't.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So take a look at the two teams ahead of me, right? With River right there and then Cash Flow. They're doing the same thing I am. So these receivers are getting just sucked up real fast. So, and then, you know, if you take a look at some other teams, like here we go, the sixth team, they've got three receivers. So does number five. So it's going to drop off really quickly here pretty soon. I think we're actually kind of getting to that. There's still a couple pretty good guys on the board, but pretty soon you're looking at Marquise Brown. You're looking at, you know, sorry, Jorge, Terry McLaurin, Calvin.
Hey, I actually am really high on Terry McLaurin this year. Look at the QBs he's had his first 3 years. No matter who Washington takes, it's going to be the best quarterback he's ever played for. If it's Jaden Daniels, he was great throwing the ball down the field. If it's Drake May, a lot of people think he's the most pro-ready of the QBs, not named Caleb Williams. And I believe in Terry's, ability. So I think that he's actually somebody, especially like in the dynasty leagues I'm in, I've been trying to get him everywhere I can.
Listen, I have no issue with Terry McLaurin. I love Scary Terry very much, but yeah. Is that a quarterback run that I see here? We're in the fifth round. We got Patty Mahomes, right? Richardson going. Do I take my Nico stack and try to do something here with the Texans?
You're saying Stroud?
I accidentally took Stroud on my draft on Tuesday because I let it auto draft because I couldn't, you know, I was just running my mouth and not paying attention to the timer. But like I was telling Rich earlier, like, are we going to cry about having CJ Stroud on our team? No, it's fine.
I will never doubt that dude again. I think it was the most impressive rookie season I've ever seen. I think people just forget, like, coming in, the offensive line was kind of a mess. Nobody really knew what was going to, you know, kind of line he'd have protecting him. No offense, Nico Collins was not the guy that we think he is right now. There were some people out there, obviously, were Collins truthers, but he really hadn't done anything. Yeah, people were saying Tank Dell was going to be good, but who knew? And just to see him do that with Dameon Pierce, like, having an awful year, and I'm a big Dameon Pierce guy. Like, I was so impressed with what Stroud and, you know, D'Amico Ryan, Texans team is just really impressive. But he's wise beyond his years to only have, I think, four interceptions his rookie year, and he just got better. I love this kid. There's really not anything negative you can say about his first year in the season, and that's rare.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, what a fun thing, you know, a player to watch. You know, I just like, God, Texans fans must be so thrilled after just years of just being just completely dejected for so long. Good for them.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know about good for them. It's a Falcons fan. When we find a CJ Stroud, then I can be good for them. But, you know, bully for you, Texans fans. Bully for you.
You got Kirk Cousins coming in. You guys are going to be okay.
We'll be okay. That's how bad it's been, though, Stacey. It's like Kirk Cousins, people are like, you know, Jesus has risen from the dead in Atlanta after watching Ritter and freaking Mariota the last 2 years throwing Heineke, but we'll be better. But I would much rather have like that young dude that, you know, like I look at like your situation in Green Bay with Jordan Love, like knowing you have somebody young and it's already performed, like there's just no better feeling as a fan base, because the sky's the limit, right, from that point on.
Oh, totally. I mean, like, I'm just so excited with Green Bay. Like, you know, we had no idea what was going to happen with Jordan Love. Like, is he going to be good? Is he not going to be good? You know, are we really in for it? And our luck at QB has not run out yet. So
I don't think it's luck. I think that if you look at the way they've handled both of those QBs, I'm shocked more teams don't like let them sit, like let them learn. You got your guy, and then they just have such a better chance of succeeding, you know, kind of knowing how the NFL works.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely do. Wow. So at A.D. Mitchell here, because I never feel like I say his name right. A.D. Mitchell looks like, what is he, the fourth receiver out of this rookie class? And then comes Brian Thomas Jr. I'm just always so interested to see where people are taking these guys, and it just kind of like, you know, how people are, you know, ranking them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Madison, you know, love it.
So when do you take, you're picking again. I don't want to mess with you while you're making your selection. So,
really okay.
But I do, you know, like, again, I still think this is the era where it's personally too early to be taking, you know, a lot of these rookie receivers, because you can wait and get, you know, somebody later, or take, you know, one of the better tight ends in this class. You could, if you had not got a QB, get a QB here. There's still some really good running backs left because we hadn't had that many selected. I just, again, just kind of want to know early that my guys have a, you know their situation and they're going to get a decent amount of volume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I totally think you're right here, especially, you know, when you're talking about like this running back class, right? You have no idea. You know, there's not like a standout guy like there has been in the last couple of years. So I think, Keith, I don't remember, was Britt was on our show that we did the women's best?
No, she was on the one before.
Yeah. So she made a really good point. She was like, you know, with these guys, like you don't really know as far as, you know, the incoming rookie running backs, you know, what if you are taking a guy later on, you don't know a ton about him. He may not get a ton of playing time. Right. I mean, who knows, you know, at this point. So that's, I'm a little hesitant more so with the running backs than I am with the receivers. I think there's so many of these guys that are going to end up being studs this year, but I do like to kind of wait, you know.
Very fair point by Jason, who just says the contest fills before the draft. So you either can't wait or rookies or you won't get any.
Yeah.
Completely understand that. I just, you know, again, that's just kind of my philosophy is I would, you know, kind of rather have the guys early that are known commodities. I know where they're at. And then I'm telling you, like late in these drafts, at least in the one I've done, I was just throwing darts at every rookie. You know, I could those last few rounds because you never know when one of them will have, you know, a good or decent season.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the fun thing about these kind of drafts, right? This is a $10 entry fee, right, for this one. So go do a couple of these. Go crazy with your rookies. Take them as early as you feel like you have to, and then do a build where you're waiting on some. Like if this isn't like a, you know, draft where you're only going to get to do it once. You can do a ton of different ways, build your team. You know,
and do different strategies each time, kind of what you're saying, right? Yeah, I like that.
Exactly. So, you know, play around with, you know, different builds and that kind of thing. And, you know, go do a, if you don't typically do a, you know, or start off with running back, well, go try it, you know, see what it's like, see how you like that team, see how it works. And, I kind of like doing these. One of our listeners, Jamie, he's on a lot, you know, pops in the chat on a lot of our shows, yep. Mm-hmm. You know, mentioned last week, these underdog drafts are what he uses as like mock drafts to get ready for the season, you know, to kind of see where ADP is, see where people are taking other guys, play around with your builds, see what you like, you know, so I totally agree. I think he made an excellent point the other night and, you know, that's kind of how I like to use these as well. So if it works out, you're going to win something. And if not, it's okay too. You know, spent $5, $10 on having a little fun. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Ahead, yeah. No, yeah. That's, I was just going to say, that's like, it's like going off of the rookies earlier. Like that's, I think you hit it, Keith. Like I like to have the known commodities a little bit first. And going off of what you're saying, Stacey, the whole idea of like the best ball with underdog, like looking at it being random and everything each time that you're going into it, like I love just going in there and changing up how I'm building it each time. I love just seeing what can I do this time. Am I gonna get away with being able to go with just a few running backs? And going heavy wide receiver, do I need to go wide receiver early? What, like how do I need to do this? And it does, I think it does help prep you for, it's a fun way to mock draft, like what you're saying. That is a great way to put it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I can't take credit. That was all Jamie, like put exactly what I was thinking, like yeah. Put it towards the other day. And you know, too, like with these, you know, especially later on once the schedule drops, you know, if you're really into correlating your teams in these kind of tournaments with the schedules, you know, you can play around with like, what's a great late season stack, you know, like where do I have to, if I want to get, you know, this particular team, where can I get it? You know, like what round do I have to take these guys in? That kind of thing. Ooh, what do you guys think? Tight end or do I go another running back here? There's one tight end left.
Who's the tight end?
Jake Ferguson.
All right. Well, there we go.
What do you guys think? I was worried that I was going to talk too much and then it was going to take somebody else that I had on here. I had several more.
Stacey, how do you feel about them sniping Aaron Jones right before you earlier?
You know, listen, I love Aaron Jones so much. Anytime I can get him on my team, I love it.
Rich, I just realized that he went two picks before.
I know. I know.
You were not happy. I'm surprised we didn't hear any swearing. their body.
Just wait. Listen, if I was gonna like get really upset, it would have been when Sam LaPorta was taken. I can tell you the most angry I've ever gotten about fantasy football involved Sam LaPorta last year. I was drafting. It's my last draft of the season. I was in Las Vegas doing the FFPC main event tournament live with my drafting partner, Jim Bednar. And we were going to take Sam LaPorta. We had had him eyed. We had looked all weekend, you know, looking at where he was going in like the sixth round. We're like, okay. You know, when it comes down to us, our next pick, we're going to grab LaPorta. I forget who we grabbed before that. And I kid you not, we had not, right, had just finished discussing that amongst ourselves. We're in the fourth round and the team next to us took Sam LaPorta. I could have flipped a table over. I was so mad and I had to like get up and walk away. I was like, I cannot believe. And we looked at the boards for the rest of the weekend, like nowhere else had Sam LaPorta going that early. This is a smidge early, but it may not.
No. I'm a big Zamir White truther.
In Georgia. Yeah.
And I mean, just we saw last year, they're going to run the freaking ball. And then the other thing about White that I think a lot of people forget, he was the number one running back in his high school class. He had some injuries and stuff that obviously derailed him. He seems to be healthy again. Dude is a tank. By the way, has guns like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 80s. But I think he's going to have a really big season again this year. And he's just like going to be one of those guys that just gets so much volume. And that's so hard to find, you know, today on any NFL roster for fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Gator, what's up? I just want to say hello to you over in the chat. Saw you jumping in. Hello.
Sorry to shift gears real quick, but
he didn't say hello to you, Stacy. So I don't know why you're saying hello. He just wanted to say hey to Richard. So
is Trey Benson the first rookie running back taken off the board?
Yeah, I think so. Right.
That's surprising. All right.
You know, though, he was on my list right after Zamir White. I had Trey Benson right there to go. I don't know. I can't decide who I like the best out of these guys. Like, do you guys have a favorite rookie running back right now?
So mine was, so on the show that we did a couple weeks ago, Braylon Allen was my RB1. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've come around a little bit more to Jonathan Brooks. I think that he, from what they've been talking about, and it was actually kind of funny, I was just talking with Fitz on Twitter about this today, but he was saying how he too is coming around to Jonathan Brooks being the RB1 because it just seems like he's going to be ready come this year. Yeah. So, and Yeah, I'm really excited about what Jonathan Brooks is going to do.
Nice. I don't dislike Braylon Allen at all. I think he's kind of like a fun, like big, you know, just he's like the biggest guy, like the biggest running back in this draft, right?
Right. Yeah.
He's a big one. I think he's fun to watch. Yeah, you like that?
Oh, he's like, a big one.
He's a big one. I love it.
And you know, I speak that language. You know, the country redneck slang. So I got you.
Oh, listen, my people are from Kentucky, Keith. Like, I can start, you know, like dropping my vowels here or there too.
are we all country people here? From the country? Yeah. All right.
I was in Valdosta for 6 years, for God's sakes. And if you know Valdosta, Georgia, that is about as southern and as country a place as you will get, right there on the Georgia Florida line. And we know how funny Florida can be at times. The further south you get Georgia, the further country it gets.
Nice. I was born and raised in Florida, but most of my family is from Kentucky and Missouri. So we do have quite a bit of country on our side for sure.
Big Blue fans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I grew up as a huge Kentucky fan. Absolutely. 100%. You know, we do not like the Louisville Cardinals. We are Kentucky. And by the way, it is Louisville. It is not Louisville.
Sorry.
Every time I hear that, it's doable. I'm on the clock, guys. What are we gonna do here?
So when did you start aiming for your next quarterback? Just wondering.
Well, I was gonna take Jared Goff, and that didn't happen. And then I was like, well, Justin Herbert's still here. That's pretty great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and then the whatever number team U is right here decided that they also like Justin Herbert. So that was a bummer.
Bastard.
I know, right? So I'm probably going to need to start. What's going to happen here is that I've got CJ Stroud. who's a stud. So I'm probably.
So what QBs are left?
So here's the QBs that are left. We've got Trevor Lawrence, Kirk Cousins, Jaden Daniels, Stafford, Rodgers, Baker, Drake May, Deshaun, Will Levis, as my mom likes to call him, Justin Fields, you know, Derek Carr, Bryce, who's McCarthy. We've got some you know, options here.
How many do you normally take in your best ball drafts? I'm a just full discretion. I'm a two quarterback kind of guy. I just
grab. No matter who your first QB is, or you always kind of take a QB relatively early.
No, go ahead, because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. So you talk about your draft, I'll jump in.
Sure. So I typically wait a little bit. I usually am filling out my other positions before I fill out the quarterback at all. And even in those scenarios, when I do that, I still am only taking two in best ball drafts. I feel like, especially just because it's best ball, it's a one QB type of situation. You don't really need a whole lot there. And you can get somebody like Kirk Cousins late, like we're talking about now, that can really help put your team over the top.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say. I would definitely look at taking. Yeah,
Kirk Cousins,
It's a great pair with C.J. Stroud. If the Falcons thing is good, I mean, you're going to definitely get some weeks from them. You know, God forbid something happens. Sir Cousins has been great from fantasy perspective now for years. And I'm just excited about the offense that we're going to have with Robinson calling the plays, you know, for the Falcons, because when the history has shown, when you learn under Sean McVay, you end up being pretty good at this. And not only our head coach, but the offensive coordinator, both of, you know, Bennett McVay's offenses for a long time. And when you look at the weapons that we have not been able to use the last few years, and, you know, Pitts, Bijan, London, there is real reason for hope that the offense is going to be really good. I have no faith in the defense whatsoever. We'll see what we do in the draft. But I do think that there's a real case to be made that with the addition of Cousins, this offense is going to be really good and exciting next year.
Yeah. And real quick, just wondering, since you are a Falcons fan and everything, how do you feel about Pitts? I moved him up to tight end one on my board.
It's hard to, you know, go all in, because I've also been disappointed, but I keep telling people, if you look statistically, the unrealized air yards is a big deal. I mean, he led the league all 3 years from the tight end position. One of those years, he played like seven games and he still had the most unrealized air yards of any tight end. Kind of like what I was saying about Terry McLaurin on the show before, I'm very high, or just now, I'm sorry. This is probably doing back-to-back shows. It's just, he's had trash thrown on the ball. His rookie year with Ryan, he had a great year. And the other thing about last year was just, it usually takes 2 years to come back from a knee deal. And even there are reports coming out of Falcons camp now that he looks much more explosive than he was last year. He said he feels more comfortable kind of letting it go, which anybody who's had a knee, ankle type surgery knows what that's all about. That it's kind of scary at first, just to truly like run full speed or do something full speed. So I think he's going to have I think he has the highest upside of any of those players. And I'm really high on Bijan, but I would not be surprised at all if Pitts is like a tight end number one and actually closer to, like, you know, wide receiver 13, 14 this year. If things go the way that I think they will.
Heck yeah.
Right. I'm over here loading up my queue just in case that things get a little crazy over here, which is super important.
So Jerry Judy's change of scenery, how do y'all feel? Because I've kind of had my heart broken. I thought the dupe was going to be really good. It has not worked out.
I've never been a Jerry Judy fan. Can I just confess something? I've never been a Jerry Judy fan. Never. Sorry, Jerry. I'm sure you're a really nice person. I'm sure you're great.
Right.
Sheed Shaheed. There goes my Saint stack. Damn it. Oh.
I just said something the other day about how Judy is the guy I can't stop drafting. Like, I want to. I've been burnt so many times, but I just keep drafting him.
That's J.K. Dobbins for me. And now, of course, he signs with the Chargers, and it's like, just when I thought it was out, you know, they pull me right back in. So I'm sure I'll be taking him.
One of my friends, shout out Adam Krauer, sent me a text last night, and it was a picture. It was Dobbins signs with the Chargers, and then it was a picture of like a cowboy saying like, "I wish I could quit you."
Yes. I feel it. I really do.
Oh my goodness! We got in the chat here. I don't know how to quit. Cuisinable?
Don't ask questionable. Eastern country boys.
That's true.
I got it. It's questionable. Oh, there
we go. Shout out to people that wait until the late rounds for their QB. I can't make myself wait that late. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll try it, you know, at some point this season, but it's, I don't know. I want one good guy, and then I'm okay with waiting to get my other ones. But
right.
Like when you say good, are you saying like top 10 QB? I'm just curious. Yeah. Okay.
Top 10, 12 QB. I want like a stud. I want somebody that I know is going to produce and put up big numbers for me. You know, so I feel a little bit more comfortable with my comfort zone. It's my little comfort blanket.
Yeah.
I'm just knowing it's going to be okay. Talk about country. How about Xavier Legette? Have you guys heard him do interviews yet?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I've moved him up like my boards because I'm like, okay, this dude's country strong. Now I get it. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. So great. All right, we are on the clock here.
Oh, see, like getting Purdy that late, that is a great pick. That's one of my big guys this year. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't read. I'm sorry, that's Buck here. I was about to be like, is that Brock Purdy? I was like,
wait a minute, what?
You were like, wait a minute, because I was like, you didn't even say this, Stacey.
I was looking, I was like, wait, where did Purdy go?
Where did he go?
That's a
he hasn't come yet, I don't think.
No, he's not on
there. Okay, so he went right before two. So what round?
Oh, yeah, he did.
I can't see eight. Is that the eighth?
That's the eighth round. Yeah.
Okay. A little bit bigger. That's what she said. But
hello. I'm also just old, Stacey. Like the problem with getting old is your eyes begin to fade on you, especially when I had LASIK surgery. So like I really should not. Yeah. I think Jameis needs a lot more than LASIK surgery, if we're being honest. But yes, we do both have LASIK surgery. But it is really, I'm starting to wonder, maybe I was just bragging last year that, you know, 10 years after my LASIK surgery, I haven't lost any eyesight at all. As you can see, I'm starting to lose it a little bit.
Oh, Angie Hatfield, I see you in the chat over here. So you want to learn FFPC. Do I have an FFPC 101 scheduled? I do not specifically have one of those, but Angie, I'm going to write it down right now, and I will put one on the books for you, specifically for you. You have to promise that you're going to come draft with us, though, when we do that. So,
Stacey is a woman of the people. Look at her. I mean, can we get you elected to office, Stacey? That's the next question.
Let's go. I said the other day, like my first act would be to make us the Monday after the Super Bowl a national holiday, and everybody gets to.
Yeah, your approval rating would be through the roof.
Exactly. That's the kind of platform that I want to run on. You know, I don't know about everybody else, but we're talking about priorities here, the important things.
So. Yeah, like a two-week Christmas, like in, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school and stuff, where it was like, all right, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. That'd be great for work as well.
Guys, I only have three running backs. I should probably fix that, huh?
Yeah,
I'd probably grab a couple
because it's two positions, right? And then how many flexes?
So only one flex here.
Okay, so it's not that awful, right? Like if you went with like four or five backs, I don't think it's that crazy with just, you know, two, right? That are starting each week.
Angie, how do you all feel about
the treadmill and then kudos to you, Angie, for getting on the treadmill.
What a humble brag by Angie. I like that. I love it. She's like, yeah, I had to hop on the treadmill while you guys are just sitting down doing a draft, lazy bums.
Angie's literally tight while we're over here screwing around on the draft board at on Thursday night. That's all right, though. That's okay. Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should do a draft from the treadmill. Can you even imagine?
I'm out. I love you, Stacey, but at that point, I'm done. I'm not doing exercise while I do this. There's a 0% chance.
No, thank you. It's not happening. Wow, Deshaun Watson going in the 14th round. Guys, going after Justin Fields and Drake May, who, like, at least Fields may not even start. Because what do you think about that? How do you feel about Deshaun Watson?
I get the hesitation on him. I really do. But yeah, after Justin Fields, that's really surprising.
Right?
Personally, like just because I really don't think that Justin Fields is gonna start half the season. just because
ooh, the, I like the Rico that, pick there.
Just she's the way that the contract is set up with Fields right. and everything, or the trade, the way that the trade was set up.
Yeah.
He's not playing half the season, so yeah.
And I mean, Watson potentially has a super high upside. I mean, we know his job is pretty secure because Flacco is gone, right? Who basically right. probably outplayed him last year. And
that's just why also, Flacco's not back. He didn't want the competition there.
Right. And I mean, the Browns are loaded from an offensive side. Like if you look at all their weapons, and you know, in fairness to Watson, he was gone a long time, and so. I'm not saying he'll ever get it back, but you would think the timing would take a couple of years for him to just get back to the speed of football, because that's what we hear about all the time is the biggest difference between college and pro football. It's just the speed of how quickly things are happening. Well, think about if you don't play a game for, you know, several years, it's kind of understandable it's taken him a while to get back. I hope nothing good happens to him because he's a horrible piece of shit, but I'm saying from an upside, you know, perspective – There is a lot of upside in like best balls and stuff like this, getting them this late.
Oh, totally. I mean, at least he's got the weapons, and you can't, you know, argue about that. No excuses there. I'm gonna take my first rookie off the board. My first rookie, 15th round.
Nice. I like it.
Malachi, the Yak King Corley. I have a feeling.
Baby
This is going to be like my this year's Marvin Mims, who I took a few spots earlier. Hopefully he has a better season than Marvin Mims does.
Well, he just gets thrown the ball. Actually, Mims did, you know, a lot with what he was given. He just never was on the field.
I know. That's so – my sweet Marvin, I hope you have a better sophomore season, buddy.
How do you guys feel about Herbert now with – you know, kind of what the Bears have done? Because if you look last year, man, he was so good down the stretch. I was really high on him, like, I think it was 2 years ago, and then he ended up getting injured. I mean, does it completely scare you away with the Swift, or do you still think he gets, you know, decent volumes? I think he's a very talented dude.
So you said you meant Khalil Herbert, and I was all ready to be like, yeah, Justin Herbert.
Well, at least you didn't think Brock Purdy went. What was that? Like the 13th round?
No, I gotta say, I'm out on Khalil Herbert with the Swift signing. I think the Swift will be, especially with what they're paying him and everything, I think that he will be the guy there. And so I just don't see a whole lot of usage. And it hurts me to say that because I was so in on Rashawn Johnson. I have so many shares of him everywhere. I was ready. My heart was ready for it. But
don't give up yet. Swift doesn't have the greatest track record of staying healthy.
That's true.
Big guy take a full workload, but oh, I know what you mean. Like, he's going to definitely get every opportunity probably to be the guy.
Roshan is currently the highest, according to ADP here on Underdog, the highest rated running back that's available on the board right now.
See, I don't know what Beetlejuice about everyone. His name, yeah, right.
So, question for you all, and this was kind of where I was looking at with the running backs and whatnot. How do you feel about picking up, veterans at this point, veteran running backs that like Ezekiel Elliott or Dalvin Cook that aren't on a team or anything like that yet? Like, how do you feel about them? Where do you put them in your thinking? Are they even on your board at all at this point?
Zeke's on my board.
I was gonna say Zeke, you know, proved with the last kind of 2 years really that when given an opportunity, still, again, from a fantasy perspective, puts up points. Dalvin Cook, I mean, I would like it a lot more if he'd have stayed with the Ravens, be honest, but you know, I saw so little from him. Like, I need to see a little bit more. I'm the same guy saying I don't like to take, you know, rookies earlier in the middle of the draft because I don't know where they're going. If it's somebody like Cook, who maybe, to be honest, washed, like, I definitely kind of need to know where he's going before I probably spend a pick on him. Especially 20 players, right? Isn't that only 20 picks, right, Stacey?
Yeah, it's only 20 picks. So that's definitely a good point there. Throw a couple. I'm kind of looking now. I'm like, oh gosh, like, what am I going to do? But I always throw Zeke on there as long as he's playing. You know, they're going to put him at the goal line. He's going to be a touchdown threat. I'm not a big Dalvin Cook fan. So I don't know that you could even pay me to put him on my at this point. Sorry, Dalvin.
Go Pack, go.
That's right. Go Pack, go. Right. Oh, is AJ, I'm up. Let's see. Oof. What do we have here? I think I got, I think I have to go running back. I only have four. let's do some Keaton Mitchell. Why not?
Ah, like the upside.
Yeah.
Exactly. Down the stretch. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're wrapping up around 16 going into 17. You know, you have a guy that's on a team. He's an RB2. Well, I guess really three, if you count Lamar, you know, is using his
body. Right. Right.
You know, you're on a team that likes to run. So give me Keaton Mitchell.
He was really, really good though last year to where, you know, I think it's a good situation for him in a best ball being behind Henry. You think the team's going to be good. I like the upside of it.
Yeah. So Pseudoname wants to know, how early did Connor go? Did he get respected or faded again this year? So we're going to roll this back and find out, where did Connor go? Connor was on my list. I think he went in that same group. Yeah, that Najee, David Montgomery, Jaylen Warren, and James Connor. So to answer your question, Pseudo, that was in round 7 towards the end there to team 11.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Because I'm really high on Connor again.
Yeah.
I think that Cardinals offense is going to be really good if Kyler stays healthy, especially if they add Harrison. Obviously, McBride's a just an absolute stud. Kind of like my Falcons, right? That I think the offense is going to be really good. I have no idea how good the defense is going to be, and they'll probably be bad. But I think from a fantasy perspective, I love their players. And, man, Connor's just – I guess he's just kind of boring. Maybe it's a number 6. I don't know what's going on, but it seems like in every format, including DFS, he's always under-owned, undervalued, et cetera.
You know, there's like a theory out there, and I have to, I think it's the guys on the Ringer Fantasy Show that like say that if you have a boring name, like you're, you know, like it's a, like James Connor, it's a boring name. Like maybe that's why he's not as popular, even though he's a good player. You know,
I think Brock Purdy kind of ruins that though, right? Because I think he's undervalued, and I mean, Brock is like the greatest name
ever. That's a cool name. I just
love that. Yeah,
that's a lame name. Yeah.
I honestly feel like it goes back to when James Conner and Chase Edmonds were going head to head against each other of who was going to be the guy.
Oh, and my gosh.
And it was such a divisive prospect of who is going to be the guy going forward that like lines were drawn in the sand. And some people have had a hard time going back on it.
Oh, yeah. We are wrapping up round 17 here. We're getting into our mega dart throws.
I like that. I'm going to coin that, mega dart throws.
Mega dart throws here at this point. I mean, oof, Miles Sanders. That's rough. That's rough.
Again, another one that I just wanted to work so much.
Me too. I had such high hopes for him last year. Like I was pulling out all sorts of stats, you know, like Frank Reich always uses, you know, one running back, right, like much of the time, this many percentage of the time. And yeah, not so much there.
No.
I think that's where, I think Carolina just must be where like expectations and like things that like typically happen, like statistically just like go to die, right? Like nothing works the way that it should in Carolina.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm a Bryce truther. And
I love Bryce.
Telling everybody, pump the brakes a little bit. Let's see this year with a little bit better weapons, a better offensive line around them. Another one of those guys, he had a horrible situation last year. And I don't know if any QB, including CJ Stroud, would have exactly just killed it in that situation. So I do want to be patient with him. I am a little concerned about his size because it did seem like he had more issues in the pocket throwing than I thought he would, because he had a lot of balls batted down, et cetera. But I still believe in his talent. I watched him in the SEC. Bryce is a pretty scary dude when he gets going, is given time, and has like actually good weapons.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about him with Deontay Johnson. I just I actually just traded for my like fourth share that I traded for this year, this offseason, for Deontay Johnson. I've been trying to pick him up everywhere that I could just because I think that those two are going to finally make some beautiful music together.
I mean, he had a lot of success with Devontae Smith, I believe, the one year he played with him. So I mean, it does, you know, kind of make sense, sort of a similar type. Receivers, undersized, really good route runner, good hands.
I have feelings about Deontay Johnson. I can't get over the no touchdown.
Yeah. I was going to say, I knew that's what it was.
Can't get over it.
I was pretty upset myself, Stacey, so don't feel bad.
Get over it.
I think there was like 4 weeks on the Daily Fix in a row that I picked him for like my DraftKings plays, you know, for wide receiver. And the whole reason was he's got to catch a freaking touchdown. Like he can't keep going. And he just kept going without catching a touchdown. So it's like betting on red when you're playing roulette. You know, you're like, it's gotta eventually land on black. No, it does not. Like technically it should, but it does not have to.
Oh my gosh. It was like one of those last games of the season. And he's like, he's got the ball. He's like separated. He's running down the field and you're like, oh, he's finally going to get the touchdown. And like, I don't know, one of those defenders like caught up with him and just like right at the one, boom, went down. I was like, man, that is your luck.
And you're always playing like the person that has the running back that's about to get that 1 yard carry when it's your wide receiver tackled at like the half yard line. You're just like, F me. Like, is this real life? Love the Trey Palmer pick there. I think that if you look at like his numbers down the stretch, he was really good. Baker is a good QB. And like, let's be honest, Chris Godwin has a hard time staying healthy. So could be more opportunities for Palmer this year. I think Tampa Bay is going to open it up a little bit more in year two with, you know, Baker in this offense. So I do like, again, I think there's a lot of upside in that. You kind of know he's going to be on the field, right? Like he's definitely the number three receiver there. He's going to get targets. And if he ends up having a really good year, like, you know, this is a steal.
Well, like,
sorry, Rich, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just, I can't remember where it was that I heard it, but I heard somebody talking about that the Bucs are going to go back to using Godwin more in the slot.
Ooh.
Okay. Where he's used a little bit more to his strengths. And I think that Trey Palmer would definitely what's the word I'm looking for? Just appreciate from that. Like he would do much better being that third wide receiver on the outside.
Yeah.
Definitely a burner. And it made a lot of big plays, you know, last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I need to go. I'm gonna take a running back here. It's really gross. Don't make fun of my pick.
Homer, boom.
Hey, you gotta have that Homer pick. You gotta have that Homer pick. Yeah. In my opinion,
is he gonna be like the backup?
I mean, he's number two to Josh Jacobs right now.
I was just curious because, like, I know some Packers fans in my life are fans of, and I'm sorry, I don't know your whole chart, but there's a guy that played a little bit going into the playoffs last year.
Yes.
Why is he? Blanking on the name, and I apologize. So you think it's still Dylan's job to lose as the number two back this year?
I think so. He's been there for a while. If you give me 2 seconds, I'm going to pull up our depth chart now because you asked me, and of course I can't remember who it was. Let's see. Where are running backs? Emmanuel Wilson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Wilson.
That guy.
Yeah, I like Emmanuel Wilson a lot. It's AJ Dillon's job to lose, I think. I mean, not that he's really had a great year the last couple of years. Oh, Kamani Vidal going right after that's Rich, you remember that was Patrick Lawrence came on 365 a couple of weeks ago, and that was his sleeper was Kamani Vidal. So Izzy Abanikanda. He was on
that. Oh my God, we could have had a segment there of me trying to pronounce that name and butchering it for 5 minutes. Jesus Christ.
I could keep saying it a lot last year because we were super high on him.
That is well done, Stacey. I am impressed with a lot of things that you do, but saying that name effortlessly.
Yeah. And I took him and I had so much Abanikanda. I'm just gonna keep saying it. everywhere. Show off. Thinking that like he's not going to come back 100% right away, and it's going to give Izzy a chance to really get in there and get some playing time, and he did absolutely nothing last year. So I had a bajillion best ball teams with like my last one or two picks is Izzy. But I wanted to get to this question real quick before this draft wraps because we are going into the 20th round here. But Suda said that he saw on Twitter today that Hollywood Brown, Rondale Moore, and Zach Ertz left vacated 206 targets. And that's with Kyler out until week 8.
That is a Michael Wilson tweet or whatever that was on right there. Yeah. Michael Wilson showed a lot of flashes last year. He's got to do better versus, I believe it was man, that his splits were awful compared to versus zone. But either way, I like just what I saw from him. And that's volume, right? Like somebody's going to get there. That's probably also a Harrison tweet if he ends up there as well. It just shows not only is this guy supposed to be one of the best wide receiver prospects in forever, he's going to get peppered with targets. And don't forget about my boy Greg Dortch either.
So funny. Yeah. Greg Dortch, the highest ADP, highest wide receiver in ADP available on the board right now.
I've done that twice. It's like Beetlejuice.
I think it's a sign. I think it's a sign. Just saying.
It is. I'm like, who is going to be my Mr. Irrelevant? Do you guys know Kadarius Toney is still on the board?
As he should be.
So is he. Yikes.
What was the one? I just saw somebody do they did, it was the outhouse challenge. Have you heard of the outhouse challenge?
No.
Where like you just throw out, you let your team, you let your leagues throw you trades, and then you put your trades on Twitter and decide which side you're going to take, whether you're going to accept that trade or not.
Right.
And one of the trades that I saw that somebody posted on this was Kadarius Toney or $10 in Fab. I, of course, voted for the $10 in Fab.
Yeah, I would.
$10 for sure, man.
Absolutely.
So you're the Packers, expert. Oh. The Kraft Musgrave. Obviously, I know you're higher on Musgrave because you took him correctly. Can you kind of explain that for somebody like me who's the outsider, what you're thinking is there? Just because the Musgrave's the better athlete, right?
I think so. So I'm going to do my pick real quick.
Yeah, sorry. My bad.
That's okay. I took Sam Darnold. I did.
Oh,
I
went, yeah.
I wasn't Rich, and then he was there, and I was
Rich
like,
is doing this right now. If Sam Darnold starting games late in the season for Minnesota. I promise you, he won't be doing this.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, to answer your question, so I really like Tucker Kraft. Actually, you know what I thought about doing was doing a Musgrave Kraft stack here in my tight ends, and then I was like, nah, maybe at some point I'll do that, but I didn't do it tonight. But I think both guys are going to be fantasy relevant, honestly. Like, I think you saw a lot out of Tucker Kraft when Musgrave was hurt for a lot of the year. So I like both a lot. I think Musgrave is their number one guy. But I definitely don't have any issue taking Kraft just a little bit later in the draft. And I will tell you guys who are absolutely Mr. Irrelevant was.
Look who went right after Darnold, too.
Stacey. Oh yeah, the human Dortch. Colby Parkinson, tight end for the Rams. And then if you guys give me a second, I can take our board down. Actually, I'm not gonna take our board down because I want to talk about the draft for a little bit before we do that, but I'll find out who the last pick was. Duarte, you're very welcome. If you snipe me on Sam Laporta again, I'm coming for you. thank you for drafting with us. Appreciate you spending your evening here in the underdog streets with us. What do you guys think about these teams here? Was there one that you particularly liked? Like, do you think there was like a great value pick somewhere? Anything like that? I was Human Dortch. I absolutely snatched that nickname from somebody else, so I can't take credit for it, but it's still a lot of fun. Jason, again, yeah, thank you for drafting with us.
So I do really like the guy picking right before you's team. I mean, if you look at this, like, just kind of ridiculous. The Neighbors is obviously, I think, a little risky, but goodness gracious, Smith and Lamb together.
Yeah.
I'm high on Pickens with Wilson. Watching Pickens in college, he's a guy that needs an accurate QB. Because his best ability is to make catches. Like, he's somebody that really uses his body well and just catches everything. And we have somebody, obviously, the upside of Richardson. We were talking about Deontay Johnson. Brock Bowers is going to be just freaking amazing. And even like the Javonte Williams and Caleb Williams picks, like, you know, backing up the Richardson. I love that because Richardson, obviously, I think is going to be a supernova in the Steichen offense. But we do need to see him stay healthy. And to back that up makes, to me, a lot of sense. I really love what they did with, like, their first, like, 8 to 10 picks.
Look at from rounds 9 through, 13 here, straight rookies. Like, that is ballsy cash flow. I like it. So he's got Williams, Jalen Wright, Jaden Daniels, Braylon Allen, Bucky Irving. Like, that's wild, and I love it.
But if you look, he got kind of safe again at the end, which, yeah, you know, again, the Miles Sanders take are good. But, I do like the Dortch, like, taking Tank Bigsby, who I was really high on. He disappointed, but maybe he's good this year. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Hunter Henry's the tight end that every year I never take him in leagues. Yep. Every year I never do him in Dynasty, auctions. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, Keith, what the fudge? Even in DFS, I undervalue him. Every single year, he's basically the Mike Evans of tight ends. Like, yep, he's just always really solid and good, and I can't get it through my brain.
But they use him in the red zone all the time. Like, if you can grab Hunter Henry, and he's going way earlier than he was last year. He got zero receptions last year because I was grabbing him in like the 18th, 19th, 20th rounds. You know, same kind of getting the Dawson Knox treatment too. Poor Dawson Knox is kind of the same thing there, though, as he's getting, you know, relegated to the very last rounds, and he's going to be good for a few touchdowns, a handful of touchdowns. Just watch. But yeah, well, guys, this has been so great. I'm so glad that you guys joined us tonight, and everybody in the chat, and Rich, Keith, guys, thanks. This was so much fun. Thanks for spending your Thursday with us.
Stacey, you know, I always love hanging out with you. So you don't have to thank me. Thank you for inviting us on.
Oh yeah, my God. Absolutely. Oh, guys, this and everybody out there listening, guys, we're going to be trying to do this every single week. Next week, we'll be doing it a little bit different time and day, still trying to figure it out. Cause you guys know what's going to be going on next Thursday at this time.
Keith's going to be getting his heart broken when the eighth pick is probably a fucking wide receiver or something again. pardon my French with the Falcons, you know. I'll have a meltdown. You know, just if you want to watch, check it out.
Are you streaming the meltdown?
Last year I went crazy on the Fantasy and Frames live draft show when we passed on Jalen Carter for Bijan Robinson. I mean, like, I lost my mind. So if they take a wide receiver this year, my head might like spontaneously combust. Who knows what's going to happen? Tune in to find out, you know.
Exactly. Rich and everybody else out there listening, if you haven't watched Keith's rant about the Bijan Robinson pick from last year's draft, please, it is on our YouTube. Go back and look for it.
Hater J just poking the bear. He kept asking me, so do you like this pick, Keith? I'm like, no, I do not like this pick.
I think it's still our highest viewed clip. So please, it is worth your time. Go back and watch that. But yeah,
cloud, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
NFL draft is next Thursday, so we will not be going on next Thursday. But every Thursday after that, we will be back on 9 o'clock doing some drafts. We'll be letting you guys know in advance what we're doing. That way, if you want to jump in and draft with us, you can. But you got to hit that subscribe button if you want to know what we're up to. And you can also give us all a follow, fantasyandframes.com. You can follow Keith at Keith Fleming. Rich is at Rich Sickles, GMB. And I am at Stacey_Perez83. And Fantasy and Frames, guys, make sure to check out all of our content on there. We've got everything that you could want. We've got Best Ball Dynasty, Redraft. Keith, you're going to be doing some DFS later on. Guys, literally, if you're not already subscribing, please do that now. Thanks again to everybody who watched tonight. And we will check you out next week. Bye, guys. Have a good night.